Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Christopher L. Mortal, MD, about the FDA approval of mirdametinib for the treatment of adult and pediatric patients at least 2 years of age, neurofibromatosis type 1, who have symptomatic plexiform neurofibromas that are not amenable to complete resection. In our interview, Dr. Mortal discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from the Phase 2 RENEW trial, and considerations for integrating mirdametinib into clinical practice for patients with NF1-associated plexiform neurofibromas. To kick us off, what is the sort of general significance of this approval within this patient population?
Sure. The approval of mirdametinib is significant because this is a highly selective MEK inhibitor that will provide benefit to both adults and children with neurofibromatosis type 1 who have plexiform neurofibromas that are not amenable to surgery and are causing significant quality of life or pain issues. For this population, this is a big win, and the adults with NF have been without an FDA-approved drug for quite some time, and so it's good that we're there.
Starting to get into the RENEW trial, so could you start us off with sort of getting into the rationale, the impetus for starting this trial?
Number one, we saw that mirdametinib was definitely effective in patients with neurofibromatosis type 1-related plexiform neurofibromas in the phase 1 trials, and then it was time to bring it out to phase 2 with the education we'd received from prior trials with mirdametinib and other MEK inhibitors. I think we learned some lessons. The first lesson was 3 weeks on, 1 week off. That really helped patients to tolerate the drug for a longer period of time. And that gets to point two. We had patients on this drug for a prolonged period of time compared to previous trials because we knew that it frequently takes quite some time to get the optimal response to this therapy that you'd like to see. The main point, I think, was to see shrinkage of neurofibromas, and everybody wants to see that. But the secondary endpoints were important, too. Since most adults and many children with plexiform neurofibromas present with pain, it was very important for us to assess pain through this trial, and we did that. And then the last thing was overall quality of life measures. How does shrinking a neurofibroma or changing the symptoms of a neurofibroma change the quality of life for these people with chronic condition living with these forever, especially adults? And so, number one, we were able to show that plexiform neurofibromas shrank. Having our patients on drug for a prolonged period of time by controlling side effects through schedule and other means was very important. Number two, we showed pain relief in both adults and children. And number three, we showed improved quality of life. And so all the things we set out to do were accomplished. And of course, for investigators like me, who take care of a lot of patients with this problem, it was a very gratifying outcome. Regarding safety, the safety profile of all MEK inhibitors is very similar. Just to go over those, number one, skin. And young children tend to have a more eczematoid rash, and older children and adults tend to have an acneiform rash, not true acne, but acne-like, dermatitis acneiform. Providing anticipatory guidance for skin care was very important in maintaining people on this drug. The second toxicity that we see very often with MEK inhibitors is gastrointestinal toxicity, specifically nausea, sometimes vomiting, and diarrhea or stomach upset. And so we provided thorough counseling about diet and management, and in an anticipatory way, we're ready to treat any nausea or other things that got in the way of taking this medicine. And then finally, more minor things, but certainly significant, decrease in cardiac ejection fraction is seen with MEK inhibitors and was again seen on this trial, but none of those reductions were serious. The next is eye toxicity. We only had one patient out of the whole bunch, an adult on birth control pills who had a recent COVID vaccine, got a vascular problem that affected the eye. But at our last check with this patient, that was resolving. Finally, elevations of creatine kinase, a muscle enzyme, is seen with all MEK inhibitors. We saw that on this trial and observed it and managed it appropriately. Very few people had any really serious elevations or symptomatic problems with that creatine kinase elevation.
With all of those, you know, results in mind, what advice would you put forth to clinicians who might, you know, seek to prescribe this within their sphere of practice?
I'm grateful that this drug is approved and ready to go for adults with plexiform neurofibromas. This is a group that hasn't had an FDA-approved drug, so let's get ready to go for treating the adults. And I'm going to separate adults and children out for now. But number one, maintaining people on the drug is really important. So again, as I said, providing anticipatory guidance for diet and especially trying to avoid a lot of fatty foods, fast foods, things like that will really help. Number two, skin care. Really being serious about skincare, using appropriate lotions. And we've started everybody on an antibiotic, usually doxycycline, unless they have a sensitivity to that. We'll start that right at the beginning to prevent that acneiform rash and use appropriate lotions. And then number three, just paying attention to their overall care, making sure that they understand muscle enzyme elevations, making sure they understand cardiac toxicity and eye toxicity. And I think the eye toxicity problem is important to consider in older adults, especially since they're susceptible to other retinal derangements. So paying attention to all of those safety guidelines and providing appropriate guidance will be very important. On the pediatric side, of course, a lot of this is going to be run by the parents. And so for very young children, the most important thing we saw in this trial was that we were able to use a dispersible tablet to provide this in a liquid preparation, if you will. And that really helped to give the medicine to young people with inexperience in swallowing tablets or unable to swallow tablets. That was a very important finding in this trial. Number two, the 1 week off, the vacation is helpful in maintaining people on this regimen for a prolonged period of time. And number three, skincare. In young children, we actually encourage bleach baths to keep the skin clean, again, using appropriate lotions to maintain skin integrity. So all of those things come together and are very important. I might add, since I brought up the dispersible tablet and the liquid preparation, if you will, that's really important in this population because we do have some patients on the autism spectrum in the NF population. And so having something that's easier to swallow for that subset of patients has proven to be important also. The final message is that we're really grateful for the approval of this drug. I think it's going to be an important, number one, to provide an alternative for children. And especially when you have a highly selective inhibitor that may have evidence of better responses and may have evidence of lower toxicity. And I'm saying may because these, of course, haven't been compared head to head. But for those of us with experience in taking care of these patients, these were great things to see and great things to read about in our manuscript. And then, of course, having an approval for adults is so important. To try to get insurance approval for off-label medications has been a huge headache in the treating community for many years. And so to have an approved drug is going to be the greatest. I've been very grateful for SpringWorks and their work ethic, their team ethic. It's really been fantastic. And this is just the beginning, I think, of mirdametinib as an important drug for treating neurofibromatosis type 1 related tumors.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, give us a like at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to Enclave on Air.